Are you quite sure it's him, Lupin? He growled. It'd be a nice lookout if we bring back some Death Eater impersonating him. We ought to ask him something only the real Potter would know, unless anyone brought any Veritaserum. Harry, what form does your Patronus take? Said Lupin. A stag, said Harry nervously. That's him, Mad-Eye, said Lupin. Harry descended the stairs, very conscious of everybody still staring at him, stowing his wand into the back pocket of his jeans as he came. Don't put your wand there, boy, roared Moody. What if it ignited? Better wizards than you have lost buttocks, you know.
Who do you know who's lost a buttock?
The violet-haired woman asked Mad-Eye interestedly.
Never you mind. You just keep your wand out of your back pocket, growled Mad-Eye. Elementary wand safety. Nobody bothers about it any more.
He stumped off toward the kitchen.
And I saw that,
he added irritably as the woman rolled her eyes at the ceiling. Lupin held out his hand and shook Harry's.
How are you?
He asked, looking at Harry closely.
Fine.
Harry could hardly believe this was real. 4 weeks with nothing, not the tiniest hint of a plan to remove him from Privet Drive, and suddenly a whole bunch of wizards was standing matter-of-factly in the house, as though this were a long-standing arrangement. He glanced at the people surrounding Lupin. They were still gazing avidly at him. He felt very conscious of the fact that he had not combed his hair for 4 days.
You're really lucky the Dursleys are out, he mumbled.
Lucky? Ha! Said the violet-haired woman. It was me that lured them out of the way. Sent a letter by Muggle Post telling them they'd been shortlisted for the All England Best Kept Suburban Lawn competition. They're heading off to the prize-giving right now. Or they think they are.
Harry had a fleeting vision of Uncle Vernon's face when he realised there was no All England Best Kept Suburban Lawn competition.
We are leaving, aren't we? He asked. Soon?
Almost at once, said Lupin. We're just waiting for the all clear.
Where are we going? The burrow?
Harry asked hopefully.
Not the burrow, no, said Lupin, motioning Harry toward the kitchen.
The little knot of wizards followed, all still eyeing Harry curiously.
Too risky. We've set up headquarters somewhere undetectable. It's taken a while.
Mad-Eye Moody was now sitting at the kitchen table, swigging from a hip flask, his magical eyes spinning in all directions, taking in the Dursleys' many labour-saving appliances.
"This is Alistair Moody, Harry,"
Lupin continued, pointing toward Moody.
"Yeah, I know," said Harry uncomfortably. It felt odd to be introduced to somebody he'd thought he'd known for a year.
"And this is Nymphadora."
"Don't call me Nymphadora, Remus," said the young witch with a shudder. "It's Tonks."
"Nymphadora Tonks, who prefers to be known by her surname only," finished Lupin.
"So would you if your fool of a mother had called you Nymphadora,"
muttered Tonks.
"And this is Kingsley Shacklebolt."
He indicated the tall black wizard, who bowed.
"Elpheus Doge?"
The wheezy-voiced wizard nodded.
"Daedalus Diggle?"
"We've met before,"
squeaked the excitable Diggle, dropping his top hat.
"Emmeline Vance."
A stately-looking witch in an emerald-green shawl inclined her head.
"Sturgis Podmore."
A square-jawed wizard with thick straw-coloured hair winked.
"And Hestia Jones."
A pink-cheeked, black-haired witch waved from next to the toaster. Harry inclined his head awkwardly at each of them as they were introduced. He wished they would look at something other than him. It was as though he'd suddenly been ushered on stage. He also wondered why so many of them were there.
"A surprising number of people volunteered to come and get you," said Lupin,
as though he had read Harry's mind. The corners of his mouth twitched slightly.
"Yeah, well, the more the better," said Moody darkly. "We're your guard, Potter." "We're just waiting for the signal to tell us it's safe to set off," said Lupin, glancing out of the kitchen window. "We've got about 15 minutes."